Thank you, Stephanie.
Mama Rob. Thank you. Brother Bill, Miss Pat.
Stephanie to share, and I was thinking about this passage in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, and it reads like this: Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And he says this: Let your gentleness be known to all men. Not those that look like us. Not those that smell like us. Not those that talk like us. Not those that have the same color skin we have. Not those that come from just various backgrounds. But he said, let your gentleness be known to all men.
Amen.
Why? The Lord is at hand.
Amen.
The Lord is at hand. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Man, to know that we could have a guard that defended and protected and guided us through everything in life. Wouldn't that be a comfort if you had a divine, eternal guard, which the people of Israel had at times past, where they had the angel of the Lord guiding them through the wilderness and guiding them in various places. And when the angel of the Lord, that soldier of Christ, drew his sword before Joshua that day, and Joshua said, are you for us or are you for them? And he says, I am for the Lord. I'm not for you and I'm not for them. I'm for the Lord. And if you want to be for the Lord, you can walk with me. To have a guard like that, always over our heart and mind, because I don't know about you, my mind wants to get away from me every once in a while. Wow. Not only to protect what comes into my mind, but what protects goes out of my mind. Are you with me?
Amen.
God says it right here. Listen, this is what Paul said. He says that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, when you can't explain it, it's elevated and superior and inexhaustible, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. You don't have to worry about fretting. You don't have to worry about who you're dealing with, because you're going to be gentle to all kinds of people. And you're going to rejoice before the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Praying, asking for specific things, and giving thanks before the Lord. Make your requests be known in prayer. And the peace of God. You see, it's hard to give peace when you don't have peace. And people that doesn't have peace bone are the type of people who are unsettled in their own spirits. And if I'm unsettled in my spirit and I'm on the edge, how can I transfer peace to people around me? How can I transfer peace to people in my home? How can I transfer peace to people in my community? How can I transfer peace in the people in my congregation and my family of God that I'm connected with? How can I transfer peace on the job with my bosses or my employees if I don't have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding?
Amen.
It's not going to happen. And to have that peace, I've got to be in a position where I can rejoice in what God brings my way. To have that peace, I need to be able to pray and bring supplications. That is, specific needs that only God can answer. And he'll answer them his way and through his people for his glory. And I give thanksgiving for wherever I'm at in life. He said he'll guard me. He'll guard me with peace. Amen?
Amen.
And Paul talks about that in Ephesians. Look in Ephesians chapter number 4, if you would. Ephesians 4. How does that go on to other people? Matter of fact, before we even get into Ephesians 4, look, if you would, in chapter number 2. How many of y'all enjoy reading Ephesians right now? Woo, boy. It is so good. And he brings up this idea of peace on several occasions. And he tells us that Jesus is our peace. Look in verse number 14 of chapter number 2. That is provided that you've been rescued by grace. Because without the grace of God, without being born again, being made a new creature, without being his workmanship, and that idea is that we are the divine work of what God has accomplished through Christ, that he tells us in verses 11. I'm just going to read verse 11. I know we keep going back, but the more I go back, the more I want to read. Amen. Chapter number 2 in verse number 11 says, therefore, remember that you, and let's just make that personal. I'm going to just say that you, Nick, you make it personal for you. Remember, we have to remember that, Nick, you once, being a Gentile by in the flesh, just by being born as a non-Jew, not being part of the family of God as a Jew, I was a Gentile. That is a heathen, is what that means. How many of y'all were born a heathen?
Amen.
Come on now. Boy, as precious as Ruby Kate is. Look, at she's just as sweet. Y'all watched her. She's just as sweet as they can be. And I'm sure she has her moments. What you think? Does she have her moments, honey? Does she take a lot after Rusty? Yeah. As cute as she is, as cute as our grandchildren, our children are, we were all born into this world a heathen. Come on. Humbies.
Yes, sir.
Every one of us. I mean, it's just it, because we live in a corrupt world, we know we've covered this so many times. That's why everybody in the world needs Jesus.
Amen.
Scripture says we were born into this world speaking lies out of the womb. Life centered around who? Us.
Yes.
You know, the scripture says that who is a liar? Who is a liar? Those that deny the lordship of Jesus Christ over their life, that he is God's anointed answer for everything in life. And you don't actually have to go tell lies to people to be known as a liar. You just don't have to trust Jesus and you're a liar. What the scriptures teach us in 1 John 2:22. But this passage says here that I was that Gentile who was called uncircumcision by what was the circumcision made by the flesh and hands, simply the Jews. Verse 12 says that at that time when I was still apart from Jesus, I was without Christ. I was an alien to the commonwealth of Israel and a stranger of the covenant promises, having no eternal hope and without God in the world. That's who I was. That's who you were before you met Christ. That's how we live. And people that live with no hope and no peace transfer that to people that they're around. He says in verse number 14, though, for he, well, I didn't read verse 13 because we got to read verse 13. Wow. But now in Christ Jesus, or simply that is to say now, by grace, you who once were far off have been brought near by what?
Blood.
Y'all say that one more time. The blood.
Blood.
Whose blood?
Jesus Christ.
There's only one person, whoever gave his life and shed his blood, that has the power to forgive and reconcile lost sinners unto a holy God, and that's Jesus. Amen?
Come on.
Only his blood. We were brought near to the anointed one, God's answer, through his blood. Verse 14 says, for he, that is Jesus himself, is our what?
Peace.
He is our peace. He is our peace. Without him, there is no peace with God. And with no peace with God, there's no peace or hope for eternity. And no peace and hope for eternity translates that this life is all that matters. And if it's this life that all that matters, then lives around me doesn't matter except my life. Because I've got to survive if this is all that matters. And I tell you, we live in a world that is on edge. That's unsettled. Living without peace. And it doesn't take much to push them over. But people that have the peace of God, that are resting in Christ, that are rejoicing before him and not anxious for things that are not of the kingdom of God, They cannot translate the peace of God, but those that belong to Him, that are resting in Him, that are trusting Him, that are rejoicing before Him and resting in Him, they become peacemakers. And that's what God's called us to be, peacemakers. That means we can have peace with anybody. Are you with me?
Amen.
Doesn't matter what they look like. Doesn't matter what they smell like. Doesn't matter how resourceful they are. Doesn't matter how wealthy they are. Doesn't matter the upbringing that they had. Yes, there's going to be differences. Yes, there'll be difference in preferences. I don't like all the food you like, and you don't like all the food I like. You don't brush your hair like I brush my hair, brush my teeth like you brush your teeth. But that's all right. That's all right. We're still in the same boat.
Amen.
And the boat we're in, we need Jesus.
Come on.
And there's not a soul on this planet that doesn't need Him. Amen?
Amen.
So we as peacemakers understand where peace is found then. And for people to have peace, they got to know Jesus.
Yes.
And the only way they can know Jesus if the gospel light's been sent to them. Amen?
Come on.
And that light doesn't appear out of nowhere. It comes through jars of clay, vessels of mercy, trophies of His grace that display the beauty of His redeeming grace. That's why He's reminded, hey, remember, you used to be in a position that you were separated from God, but God showed you grace and brought you near unto Him through His blood, forgave you, reconciled you, and there's people that are in still that same position you used to be in, but God sent somebody to you, and they told you about Jesus. Now, hey, you go forth and tell those that still don't know Him about Him as well.
Amen.
And let God do His work. He says in verse 14, "For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, which was the law." That's what differentiated the people of the Jews and the Gentiles. "Having abolished in His flesh," that is Christ, "the enmity." He abolished that. And if I have enmity among people and people groups because of my preferences, I'm not operating in the message of the cross. Because in the message of the cross, He tore down that enmity. He reduced it to ashes before the world so that we can be one body and one spirit, have one faith and one Lord. You don't have to be like everybody to be in unity with the people of God. Amen. He goes on to say in verse number 15, "He abolished in His flesh the enmity," that is the law, "the commandments contained in the ordinances, as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making" what?
Peace.
I want to tell you, Jesus is a peacemaker.
Come on.
Y'all say that with me. Jesus is a peacemaker. Y'all say that. Jesus' people are peacemakers with Jesus. He goes on to say in verse 17, "And He came and He preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near." That would be the Gentile and the Jew. Those who were far off, like us, and those who were near, that would be the Jews, family, his people. Verse 18, "For through Him," that is Jesus, "we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." So, whatever nationality you are, when you saved by Jesus, we all have access through the same one, through Him, by the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
He goes on to say in verse 19, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole body is being built and fit together, grows into the holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Now what a blessing. Amen. How many of you ever been in a foreign country and you was a stranger and a foreigner there? How many of you walked down the streets of a foreign place and you didn't know one word that the store owners and the citizens of that nation were speaking as you was walking down. You was clueless to what they were saying, what they were thinking. You just heard them all mumbling whatever they were saying, and you was in another world. You knew you was in another world, and that barrier of communication was lost. You ever had that? I've been in several places like that in my lifetime. Several of you have. And that's how I used to live when I lived for myself. I lived in another world. I operated under other principles. I communicated in other ways. And when I would be invited by someone to come to the house of God, or a mother or somebody would pick me up and bring me to a vacation Bible school, I felt like a foreigner. I felt like a stranger. I was in another world. This world didn't match the world I was around every day of my life. And even though I was around people who were familiar to me and they can communicate my language, I was in another world of people who lived under another set of principles. And I knew I was a stranger. But you know what? When Jesus saved me and he redeemed me by his blood, those people who used to be strangers to me, and the promises they operated in was strange to me and foreign to me, all of a sudden became my life. Began to make sense to me. And I realized that I was in a whole nother family, and the things of this world that I used to live in became strange to me. And I became a foreigner to it because of what God had done in me. Even though I could relate to what they were doing and how they were thinking and what they said, I was a foreigner passing through this world, and heaven now was my home.
Amen.
And the kingdom of God became the principles by which I lived by. And Paul is saying, remember when you used to be that stranger. You're no longer a stranger to the things and the promises and the ways of God. You're part of the family now. And as the family, you fellowship with the family. What's strange to you as a sojourner and a pilgrim is what this world is all about. You living under a whole another principles now. But you don't want to forget the fact that you used to be over there too. Because if you forget it, you're going to abandon and leave them right where they are on your way to glory. And that's not what God redeemed us for. Amen. He gives us a new family, but he also gives us a new focus in life as we look to him to help those who still haven't found out about who he is yet. And we go and listen what Paul says. How important is it for us to gather together to God? Is it important?
Amen.
How important is it? Is it something that we need to prioritize in our life?
Yeah.
It's extremely vital. Matter of fact, I'll go as far as this. That anybody that lays claim to being part of the kingdom of God that doesn't regularly gather with the people of God in the local fellowship is not trustworthy. Is not trustworthy.
Come on.
You can't trust somebody with kingdom principles that don't operate in kingdom principles.
Come on.
Are you with me?
I'm here.
This is very important for us. Why? I'll show you. This is what Paul helps us with as he writes to this church about where they've been and what they're going through. Of course, we won't be able to deal with it all. We'll come back tonight and look at it. But notice in chapter number 3, in verse number 8. Paul's talking about this age that we are in under grace. And he says to me, chapter 3, verse 8, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. First off, he was given grace to preach. The word preach means to announce or to declare. It's the word we get for evangelize among the Gentiles. But I think it goes more because he qualifies what he's talking about preaching, these unsearchable riches of Christ, which are found in the gospel of Jesus. But it goes along with the spirit of how we preach because he used this word. The word evangelize means good news. So let's read it that way and you'll see what I'm talking about. He says, this grace was given that I should good news among the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ. See, good news there is not in what he is actually saying as much as it is in the spirit by which he is declaring the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you know that God's riches in Christ are inexhaustible and boundless, what does that do for your spirit when you go forth and tell people of who Jesus is, what he's done for you, what he would like to do in your life, and how he can transform your life? Do you go with a downcast spirit with your head hanging down low? Do you do it with anger and rage and want to beat people up with it? What kind of attitude are we to proclaim the unsearchable riches and the boundless goodness of God in Christ? We do that with a spirit of good news in us. Amen. How many of y'all know we got good news to give away?
Amen.
The world needs to know that. Amen.
Come on.
Now, when you give good news, you got bad news. But I want to tell you, the good news that we have in Christ supersedes all the bad news that we've had in our past and the condition of this world and the condition of our own heart. And that translates to people. When your spirit is rejoicing in the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Amen.
Because of the good news, which has produced the good spirit in your life to go tell people about something that we cannot exhaust. Do you know you cannot exhaust the good news of Jesus? We'll never completely, none of us, even collectively, ever even get to the halfway up the peak of the riches that we have in Christ Jesus. You can never run out of good news of being in fellowship with Jesus.
Amen.
It's impossible. Amen. The word unsearchable riches is the very word, and inexhaustible. We run out of things. How many of y'all run out of money before you do month? You ever get that away where the money runs out before the month ends? And you got to pull from somewhere else to get through the rest of the month. How many of you have ever run out of food at the house? Run out of water? Carolyn, you run out of food every once in a while?
Once in a while.
Once in a while. We run out of stuff all the time. But there's something you'll never run out of. And that is having news to share about the inexhaustible riches of Christ. You cannot run out of it. And if you're having trouble telling people about the glories and the grace and the goodness of Jesus, it's got nothing to do with him and has everything to do with you.
Amen.
You've gotten distracted. Because the people of God enjoying the inexhaustible riches of Christ always have something of goodness and glory to give away of what Jesus is doing in their life right now. Amen?
Amen.
Now that doesn't mean that times are not going to be hard. That doesn't mean that you're not going to go through suffering. Doesn't mean that it's not going to be always comfortable and easy. But you always have something. Something of treasure. Something of value that you can grab a hold of and cling to. Matter of fact, Paul used the word comprehend. Comprehend the love of God. He describes God's love as being so wide and so deep and having much length to it. He's simply saying God's love is boundless. There's no boundaries in this universe to the depth and the riches of his love. But it takes us together to comprehend that love, to lay hold of that love, to seize that love. Notice, he tells us this. Look in verse number 14 of chapter 3. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, he's praying, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth are named, that he, the Father, would grant you, according to his riches, which are inexhaustible, the riches of his glory. What is he praying? That they'll be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in what? Love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. That, what is the purpose? Why is he praying for them to comprehend and lay hold of this love together so that they'll be filled with what? The fullness of God. They would overflow with God. Simply what he's saying. Karen, I say this, and I'll stand by it, is that for us to be filled and overflowing with the fullness of God, we have to be in intimate fellowship with the saints. Because if you're not in intimate fellowship with the saints, you can't comprehend, lay hold of the width and the height and the length and the depth of the love of God. And a person that's not in fellowship with the people of God can't be overflowing with God, and that makes them untrustworthy with the things of God. Amen. Are you with me? So when I'm around people and they tell me that they don't need to be in fellowship with people because they got a thing with Jesus, I turn them off. Meaning I turn them off not to reach them, but I don't listen to what they have to say because they are corruption. They are polluted. They are deception. They are a lie. Because it's impossible to walk in intimacy with Jesus and abandon Jesus' people.
Amen.
You have to be in fellowship. We can't lay hold of God's inexhaustible love in and of ourselves. I need you to tell me what he's doing in your life and the way he's working in you. And that's why we gather together. That's why we connect with one another. And that's why we serve one another. For what reason? So that we can overflow with God himself in our life. Because he's got more of his riches and glories and treasures than we could ever exhaust.
Yeah.
And I glean from you and you glean from me. But if I have separated myself from the people of God and isolated myself, I am not overflowing with him. And what I am doing, you see, the word filled means to be influenced by. If you're being influenced by the Spirit, by the presence of God, you're going to overflow with him. But if you're not being influenced by him and not overflowing with him, you're being influenced by something else. You're being influenced by something else. And that something else I don't want any part of.
Yeah.
Because that something else will only mislead and misguide me. We need all of us to be overflowing and influenced by him. Amen. By his Spirit, by his presence in our life. We have to be. If we want to comprehend and lay hold of the depths of his love. Got to come together. Amen. That's why he tells us. Matter of fact, look in chapter 4 right before we go. We'll jump back into this tonight. How does that happen? Verse 1 says, therefore, as the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling you've been called with. Do it with all lowliness and gentleness and with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's that peace again. There's that love. There's that unity. He says we have one hope, one calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over us all. But then he gets into the fact that God has given gifts to the body of Christ. And those gifts he's given for a purpose.
Amen.
And for those gifts to be fulfilled in that purpose, there's three things we have to do. Number one, we got to gather with one another.
Yeah.
Got to gather under the gifts, right? What are the gifts? He said apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastor teachers for equipping the saints, for perfecting the saints, for the work of ministry, so that the body can be built up. Here it is. The church has this mission. What's our mission? To reach people for Jesus, to teach people about Jesus, and equip people to serve Jesus.
Amen.
Now, for us to fulfill that mission, the church has a ministry. This is what Ephesians 4 is talking about. What is the ministry? We got to gather
good
under the gifts
We have to connect in fellowship with the brethren so that we can understand and know the love of Christ and be filled with the love of God, overflowing into one another's life. But then we serve one another so that the body is built up and every man playing its unique part in the kingdom of God. So we gather under the gifts to be fed. We connect with one another for fellowship. And then we serve one another for fruitfulness. And that's what God's called us to do. Amen.
Amen.
And you see, we need to help other people, because I guarantee you there's people that you work with have no clue of these things. And people like you and me go out and help them see that Jesus came to purchase their life, to own them, to equip them, to reach them, to teach them and equip them to serve Him so that they can gather with His people, fellowship and connect with them, and serve one another, that the body of Christ can be built up and grow for His glory. Amen? It's not that we complicate it, but He does.
And it's right here before us. Tonight we'll continue on in this, but it's important for us to realize that, hey, I cannot fulfill the mission of God if I'm operating independent of Him. I've got to be with His people. I've got to gather with them. I've got to fellowship with them. I need to serve them. And when I do, He fills me up and influences my life. So I encourage you, men. I encourage you, ladies. Look, you're around things in this life on from week to week. I'd imagine you're around a lot of different influences and see a lot of different things and hear a lot of different things. But we men gather together for Sunday school, and it would be good for you men to gather with us. It'd be good for you women to gather with people for whom God is doing a work in and filling them up to overflow so they can pour into your life. I don't know about you, but I can't make it without having that time with the Lord day on the day. I can't make it without being drawn back to the Word throughout the day and seeing what God may have for me. You know, God says that we're to pray without ceasing. Amen?
Amen.
That's just saying continuously, open up, talking to Him, letting Him lead us. I can't make it without my brothers and them encouraging me and building me up and hearing what God's doing in them and watching Him work in them. It strengthens my faith. It helps me. And I see the depths of His love working with them. And I'm just like them, that hey, they need God's grace as much as I need God's grace. And I need to be in it. And I'm listening and learning. And that's how we feed off of one another. And Jesus gets exalted through it. Isn't that the goal? Amen?
Amen.
To exalt Him. So I encourage you. Is that it's vital for your walk and your family and your days. Look, it may not be what you thought you always wanted to do, but it will bless you. God will bless you. When you put yourself at His mercy, gather with His people, listen to Him, obey Him, walk out in power in His strength, and do what He's called you to do. He'll help you. Amen?
Amen.
It may not be nothing phenomenal. It may not be anything extraordinarily that appeals to the dynamics of your flesh in this world. But I guarantee you, if you come to hear from the Lord, He's going to give you something.
Amen.
That you can walk in. Why? Because He's inexhaustible. He's got more than we could ever spend. Amen?
Yes, yes.
And He wants to pour it out on us. So I encourage you. Get with Him. Get with the people. And let God use us for His glory. Father, we thank You today. We ask You to help us at this moment, at this time, that we would resolve in our own spirits that we are going to do what You've asked us to do. And we're going to continue to gather and connect and serve Your people. And You're going to help us reach people. And You're going to help us teach them. And You're going to help us equip them. Lord, I want to be full of You. I want to be influenced by You. I want to influence and inspire and help other people. And I know I cannot do that in peace without Your presence, without Your favor, and without my brethren, without this flock helping and encouraging me, and me encouraging them to do the work You've called each one of us to do. I'm grateful for the way Your kingdom works. I'm not going to fight against it. I want to follow in faith with You and ask You to use us. I want to be trustworthy. I want to be faithful.
And I'm going to count my life upon your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Boy, I need help. I need help. I need him. I need you. We need one another. And I know the Lord will help us as well. As we're saved. One thing about serving Jesus, Scripture teaches us. You don't have to know everything about him. None of us do. And all God's people say it.
Amen.
But we want to be seeking him.
Yeah.
We want to be passionately seeking him. And it's in that place that God uses us to bless people around us. It's when we're not seeking him and we're not dependent on him, but we're holding on to our own self and other things, that we become unreliable stewards in the kingdom. And we want to be a steward with what he's given us.
Yeah.
That's where the scripture says, walk worthy of the gospel, so that we can be a blessing to one another. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. One thing about it too, you don't have to be at every single thing a church does or the fellowship does. That's not the thing. We want you seeking Jesus in everything you do. In everything you do. And you let him lead you.
Yeah.
You let him lead you. You follow his lead, and there's no doubt in my mind, when you do that, you're going to be able to pour into your brethren in this community and abroad in ways that will bless them and encourage them and give glory and majesty to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You just follow him, and he'll take care of everything. Amen?
Amen.
But one thing about it, you're not going to follow him by yourself.
Amen.
You're not going to follow him by yourself. You're going to follow him with a group of people that are following him. It's just his kingdom way. And I'm thankful for it. I'd hate to know I had to do all this by myself. Amen?
Amen.
It'd be tough. Wouldn't be able to do it. He's made it in such a way that we can't grow unless we're growing together. We can't grow individually, spiritually, and mature unless we're growing together. It's not going to happen. You get off by yourself, cut your arm off, what does that arm do?
Nothing.
It's what?
Nothing.
That arm's going to die. Can't do anything unless it's got something governing it. Got a head and ligaments and everything else. You isolate it, it's going to rot. Can't do anything. It's got to be connected to the body.
Amen.
Same way with us. Amen? Got to be connected.